A very good morning to each and every one of you watching this or listening to this from wherever you may be. I trust that God would bless you through this message this morning. To the Shofar Bloemfontein family, greetings from myself, from my family. We really miss you in this challenging time of lockdown and where we cannot have church gatherings yet, but we're trusting that the Lord will lead us in this new season. And I really believe it is a season of change. Last week, I talked about the first of three messages called The Unchanging God Who Causes Change. Don't we serve an amazing God? And last week, I'm not going to recap everything, but I looked at the attributes of this immutable, unchanging God who is so amazing, so loving, and so for us. But the reality is that change is here to stay. Amen. And I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, the one man, his name was Peter Pollock, and I'm just so thankful for his powerful words that he said, which caused me to think about this whole thing called change. And he said in his powerful evangelistic message that he preached at our school many years back, 1992, I remember he said one powerful thing. He said, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. If there's no change, there's no Jesus. Little did I know that those words would impact my life for the rest of my life, because it's true. Jesus always causes change. And it's not only when we give our lives to him, and there shouldn't just be a change when we get saved and, you know, radically decide to follow him. There's continuous change in our lives. And this unchanging God who's so amazing and so beautiful and powerful and holy and omnipresent and omnipotent and all-powerful, all-knowing, this amazing God still wants to cause change in our lives. Despite him being unchanging, he knows that we need change. And last week we looked at the first two ways in which God causes change in our lives. And the first one is found in Matthew chapter 4, 19. I'm just going to recap quickly. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I will change your life. I will make you fishers of men. I will change you from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. Isn't that wonderful to know that when we start to follow Jesus, he causes change in our lives? So that's the first thing, is when we follow him. The second way in which he changes our lives is when we are filled with him. That's the second F. Remember, I mentioned there's four Fs, and today we're going to look at the third one. But the second F is when we're filled with him, when we're filled with his spirit and his power and his presence, he truly changes us. Just like in Acts chapter 2, the disciples were filled at Pentecost. And recently we're celebrating the season of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that happened and the disciples were changed. And they became powerful witnesses for Jesus and let his kingdom come. And they were filled with him. And we look quickly at the Old Testament Saul and the New Testament Saul. And we compared the two and we said that the Old Testament Saul was also filled with the Holy Spirit. But his life didn't make much of a difference. He ended up turning away from God and he had a sad ending to his life. But the Saul of the New Testament, who became the Apostle Paul, his life was impacted and it continued to be impacted from glory to glory, as he writes in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, that we are changed from glory to glory. He uses the word transformed, such a powerful word signifying change in our lives. And this week, I want to look at the third F that God uses to change our lives. And that is when we fellowship with him. And notice I say with him and not with others, but we'll look at that now. So I trust that you will continue to listen and be excited as to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to all of us. You see, what does it mean to fellowship with God? Have you ever thought about that? What does it really mean to fellowship with God? So think about that for a while. Let me give you a few moments to think about what does it mean to fellowship with God. And I believe you're going to say to me things like, well, to worship him. You know, I'm really missing live worship. I don't know about you, but I'm seriously missing that place of where we can worship together. Amen. But maybe you say, yeah, worshiping God would be one way we can fellowship with him. Definitely. What about praying? We've been praying every Tuesday and Friday, and it's been amazing. So praying is definitely a way of fellowshipping with God, especially when we speak to him, but we also listen to him. It's a communication with the Lord. That's simply what prayer is, listening to the Lord, speaking to him, putting our requests before him. So that is definitely a way in which we can fellowship with the Lord. What about reading His Word, hearing what He's saying to us through His Word, meditating on His Word, memorizing Scripture, making it our own. That's definitely fellowship with God. But there's a component of fellowship with the Lord that we have been missing a little bit in these last few months. And that's what I want to look at this evening, because all those other ways of fellowshipping with God are definitely true and they should be done, but those can be done alone. But there's this fellowship that I want to talk about tonight that cannot be done alone. And I know we're missing it. I know it's sad that we cannot gather together. It's sad that we're missing the fellowship of the believers at this time, but it's a crucial part of the believer's life. And I want to look at that this morning. Let's look at the word fellowship. What does the word fellowship mean? The Greek word fellowship used in the New Testament is called koinonia. And I want to give you a few definitions or a few illustrations of this word or what this word truly means. The first one, the meaning of this word koinonia is partnership, right? Secondly, participation. The third meaning of this word is communication. Fourthly, communion. The disciples had lots of communion at the beginning. The distribution is another translation or another meaning of this word koinonia, distribution. And then also to have things in common and also to share these things. Doesn't that sound very much like the very first church in Acts chapter 2? If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that one of the core values of the first church was fellowship. And it wasn't just a sort of a casual social acquaintance. It was koinonia. It was all these things: partnership, participation, communication, communion, distribution, sharing in all these things, and having all things in common. Isn't that so powerful? It's not the word fellowship translated into English doesn't do the justice of this meaning in the Greek translation. It is so powerful, and it's something we don't always understand as believers today. It's a very shallow word many times, and we throw the word fellowship around. But you see, God Himself is already in fellowship. God is in koinonia. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that? God doesn't need anyone else. He's in fellowship already. And the first disciples had something of this fellowship that God Himself has. They experienced a fellowship that was so powerful that they shared all things in common. They had the same vision. They had the same heart. They had the heart of God. And that is the fellowship that I believe God is wanting us to have in order to change our lives. God is calling us to have fellowship with Him by having fellowship with other believers. Wow. Have you ever heard of that before? God wants us to have fellowship with Him by having fellowship with other believers. And that's why I mentioned that this fellowship with other believers has been taken away from some of us. Some of us are alone. Some of us have a few people around us. But God is truly calling us into a great fellowship of the unashamed, the bride of Christ. A fellowship of the believers. And I want to say to you that fellowship hasn't completely been taken away. Our physical gathering has maybe been taken away. But our fellowship is truly with other believers. And I want to show you now where God wants us to go with this. You see, Ephesians 4 verse 3 says that we must guard this. We must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Paul is writing there to the Ephesians and he's saying, you guys as believers, it's so important that this fellowship is created by the Holy Spirit, and the unity of the Holy Spirit is so important to God, and to keep that unity, because that's the fellowship I want you to remain in. You see, what was Jesus' heart for His disciples at the beginning? And that's what I want to get to, the first F. Jesus called His disciples to follow Him, but guess how He called them? He called them in groups. He called them in teams of fishermen. And yes, He called the individual for sure, but God ultimately places His followers in a family. And that's what He did with His first disciples. He placed them into a koinonia, a fellowship, a group of believers that He wanted to impart one heart and one mind to. And that's what they had at the beginning. That's how the early church started. There was already fellowship because Jesus established that fellowship. So Jesus calls individuals, but He calls them into the community of believers. And that's why church is so powerful, friends. That's why my life was truly impacted. I believe that many of you watching and listening here this morning, your lives have been impacted by the koinonia of God. Your life was changed not only by following Jesus and being filled with His Spirit, but having fellowship with Him by having fellowship with His body, the church. My life was I'm so thankful for Shofar Christian Church. Shofar is not perfect, but Shofar is a blessed movement, a blessed church. Why? Because God impacted my life through Shofar. God impacted my life through a few other churches as well, but recently God impacted my life so powerfully that I follow Jesus in this movement, and I'm still following him in this movement. And I'm so thankful for the believers around me, and I'm so thankful for you guys, because many of you speak into my life. The leaders in our church, thank you, I love you. You guys speak into my life. So I'm thankful for the fact that Jesus calls us to follow him, and he puts us into a family, and then he fills us with his Spirit. And guess how he filled the first disciples? He filled them as a group. They were all together in one accord. There was a koinonia, there was a fellowship, and he called them to change the world together. And then lastly, Jesus calls all of us, and he called his disciples into a fellowship with him, but with each other. And what was Paul's secret? Last week I mentioned that the Apostle Paul had a secret of why he didn't backslide like Saul of the Old Testament did. Why didn't he, you know, miss his mark? Why didn't he miss the calling of God like Saul of the Old Testament did? I believe one of his secrets, and there are many things, but one of them is what he writes here to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5. He says the following. He says, "Do not be drunk with wine," Ephesians 5 verse 18, "in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." There we talk about that infilling, that filling up us up with the Spirit of God, where God says, be continually filled. Don't just be filled once, be continually filled. Like Saul of the Old Testament was filled once, but it seemed like that continuation just didn't seem to happen, and the Spirit even left him. But the Apostle Paul says, be continually filled, because that was my secret. That is my secret, he says. Be continually filled, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And that phrase, one another, is found 81 times in the New Testament alone. 81 times in the New Testament, of which 37 verses, I'm not saying times, it's actually verses, 37 verses, are found in the Apostle Paul's writing alone. And some of those verses have this one another twice or even three times. But that is so powerful. This whole one another thing is the heart of God. And Paul's heart for the church was exactly the same as Jesus' heart for the church. It must be a one another thing. It must be a koinonia thing. It must be a fellowship, so that believers, so that you and me listening to this morning or watching this, can grow into Christ-likeness. You see, fellowship causes change in our lives. Fellowship causes growth. And you see, Satan wants to divide, friends. Satan's main tactic is to divide and conquer. And he knows he can get it right if he can divide and conquer. But the Holy Spirit's work has come to unite us all into the likeness of Christ, to unite us into this place of koinonia where we can have true fellowship with one another and true fellowship with God. I want to read a scripture from 1 John 1. Listen to this quickly, because the Apostle John is writing here. And he says, that which we have seen and heard, right at the beginning, he says he's experienced this powerful Jesus, this Jesus that he and the other disciples actually saw and heard. He said, that which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Isn't that amazing? He's calling all these disciples, or all the readers of this book of 1 John, he's calling them into a place of fellowship with them, with him and the other disciples. And he says, I want you to have this fellowship, this same heart, one mind, this one love for Jesus, this one love for God himself, but also this love we have for one another, and this vision and this passion to see the gospel taken to the ends of the earth. I want you to have that fellowship, because that was the fellowship he was talking about. It wasn't just a casual social acquaintance. It was a deep fellowship, a deep passion for Jesus and for the gospel, and a love that they had for each other. Then he says to us, he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Saying again that our true fellowship comes from Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know God is one. And when he's saying the fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, it includes the Holy Spirit, because they're all one. And we heard these things, and we write these things to you that your joy may be full. I believe if we want our joy to be full, we need to know this fellowship. Isn't that amazing? This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, there it is again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, we cannot have true fellowship with God and still walk in darkness, still walk in sin, still walk a double-minded life. That is what John is trying to say. He says, we cannot walk in deception and have sin overtake and run our lives, and yet we still say we have fellowship with God. And that is true for all of us. We cannot have this double-minded life. We cannot live a life where we say we have fellowship with God, but we're still having fellowship with the world. We're still loving the things of the world. We're still intimate with the things of the world. God says, I want you to have fellowship with me. And I want to say this morning that fellowship with God means having fellowship with others by walking in the light. He says in verse 6 here, if we walk in the light, that is the key this morning, friends. If we walk in the light, guess what will happen? Change will come to our lives. We can have healing, we can have deliverance, we can have freedom. He goes on in verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I want to really say this morning that the power of fellowship with God is found when we have fellowship with one another and we have true honesty and true accountability. You see, it's easy to lie to yourself. It's easy to lie to even to God and say, everything's fine, my life is okay. We sweep things under the carpet. But you see, it's not so easy when we have to look someone in the eye and we have to still lie to them. You can do it. It's possible. But it's so powerful when there's fellowship, when there's true accountability. And I believe when God says here that he wants us to have this walking in the light and confessing our sins, he means that we need to confess it to him, but we also need to confess to one another if we have sinned. And I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you, when last did you have the best fellowship? Or when think of the best fellowship that you've had in your life with someone. Think of a connect group. You know, I remember having connect group and I remember being drawn to the person the most in a group of new people. You're not sure how these people are, but one person starts to share their heart and you think, this is wow, to be so vulnerable and so open and so honest in front of even a group of strange people. Isn't that amazing how you're so drawn to that person? But then you get the other side, the other person that's maybe saying one thing, but you know their life behind the scenes is not godly. It's a double life. It's a hypocritical life. They say one thing and their actions speak another thing. You don't really trust that person. You're not open to that person. But that person who's honest and vulnerable and shares his weaknesses or her weaknesses and says, please pray for me. You are drawn to that person. And immediately there's it's like that person was human. They were real. They were honest that we're all sinners. But then you get the people that are holier than thou. And isn't that terrible that our fellowship can only happen when we're really vulnerable and when we're really honest. But it's terrible how we cannot even relate easily to someone that's not so open and that's kind of say everything's fine. And I want to encourage us this morning to really be honest and to be vulnerable and to be open, to confess our sins before God, but before one another, to walk in the light. Isn't that a blessing? And so God wants us to confess to him and to one another. Why? Because it's humility, confessing before God, and accountability, confessing before someone else. Not only confessing your sin, but saying, pray for me, help me, keep me accountable. I've made this commitment. I want to walk with God. Ask me the tough questions. And if I fall again, pray for me, help me, but I want to be accountable. That is the type of relationship God is calling us in. That is the type of fellowship, the koinonia, the sharing the deepest parts of our hearts, not with everyone, but at least with one person. I remember I had a good friend of mine. When I started walking with the Lord and I became a leader in the church, I was a connect group leader. And this guy got radically saved in my small group, in my connect group. And he just started to challenge everyone. And he was really radical for the Lord. But he started to challenge me and we became friends. But he started to speak into my life almost like, he was quite a sort of forthright person, and I didn't sort of give him the full right, but you know, that was the thing we did in church. We were accountable, we were honest, we were open. He started to tell me things, the weaknesses in my life and the shortcomings I had, and I was quite challenged by it. And at first, you know, being the more reserved person I am, I was, you know, out of my comfort zone, never had someone do this before. But afterwards, the Lord said to me, I have sent this guy into your life to speak truth and to keep you accountable and to bless you, to help you to grow. And you know, this guy became a real great friend of mine. He became a leader with me, and he became my best friend, or he was my best friend at my wedding, or my best man, sorry, one of my best friends. But I was so thankful that the Lord placed this guy into my life, because he showed me what true accountability was. He showed me what being honest and open, and he was open. He said, speak to me. I want you to also tell me what blind spots I have in my life, what weaknesses I have, because I want to be a better person. I want to grow. And our connect group, our small group at the time, became a group of koinonia believers, a group of believers that loved one another and that challenged one another in love, but to grow into Christ-likeness. I'm so thankful for him and for many other people that have spoken into my life. Even right now, I've got people who I say to them, you know, tell me. Tell me the hard stuff. Tell me the tough questions. Ask me the tough questions. Because God wants us to come into this fellowship change cycle. I call it the fellowship change cycle. And I'm going to close with this morning. The more fellowship we have, the deeper we grow in trust and the deeper we become trustworthy, guess what happens? The more change happens. The more growth happens. The more Christ-likeness happens. But the less fellowship there is, the more we start to draw away and walk away from accountability and from the koinonia and from the fellowship of the believers, guess what happens? Less change happens, less openness to receive, less growth, and eventually the worst is we backslide, sin takes hold of us, and the devil has got us exactly where he wants to get us, to a place where we're divided from the body of Christ. And that's his plan. His plan is to divide the body of Christ, even in this time. But friends, I believe God, the Spirit of God, is causing something different. He's causing a fellowship growth cycle where he says, get into fellowship, get into accountability, trust the Spirit of God to bring you into unity, where you can share your heart with at least one person. Because God's heart is that none of us backslide to a place, none of us go off the rails to a place where we cannot come back anymore. God's heart is to draw us back. And maybe you're at that place this morning. Maybe you've been hurt even in church. Maybe you've shared your heart and it's been abused. I want to, on behalf of the church, say I'm sorry that it happened. I'm sorry. I hope that and I trust that whoever hurt you didn't do it on purpose. But if you've been hurt, come back. Come back into fellowship. Won't you trust again? By the power of the Holy Spirit, trust again, believe again, hope again, and get into the koinonia that God wants you to get in. Amen. Oh, I've got some homework for you for this week. Each one of us that's listening and watching this, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit this week to connect with at least one person. In your small group, preferably, but if you're not in a connect group, if you're not in fellowship within our church, then find at least someone. Even if you want to phone me if you have to. But let us start to grow in koinonia. Let's start to grow in fellowship and find someone that you can walk a path with. Or if you're already in relationship, then phone that person this week. Or go and see that person if you're able to. Don't break the law and keep the distancing. But at least connect, friends. We cannot allow this lockdown and the regulations to keep us out of true fellowship. We have phones, we have WhatsApp, we have Skype or Zoom. Use any means that you can to get into fellowship. Let's let not physical distance keep us from the koinonia of the believers. And let's let the fellowship of God grow in our church. Amen. Because if you really want God to change your life, it's important that you know God is calling you into fellowship. Because I want to end off by saying this, that this unchanging God wants each of us to have fellowship with him by having fellowship with each other. Not merely to satisfy our desire for relationship, because yes, we all have desire for relationship. But I want to say this morning that God wants us to cause eternal growth and eternal change in your life. Change that will be good for you and that will be for his glory. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you for everyone who's listened to this message, who's watching. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you'd speak to them about your plan for change in their lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you call us not only to follow you and to be filled with you, Lord, but also to fellowship with you, Lord. I pray that as we realize that it's so powerful to fellowship with your body, or fellowship with you by fellowshipping with your body, Lord, your church, the believers that are having one heart and one mind. And I thank you that you're going to cause it to grow in our church. And I pray that we will grow from glory to glory, each one of us, Lord, and that each person listening and watching will grow from glory to glory as they fellowship with another believer, as they fellowship with people that are like-minded and that are going for you in Jesus' name. And I pray that there will be growth and change where there's change needed, that you'll deliver us and free us from the hold of sin. Thank you that we can walk in the light and have fellowship with one another and know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bless you this morning. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I really want to encourage you, fellowship with the body of Christ, because when you fellowship with other believers and when we as a church fellowship together, we are actually fellowshipping with God Himself. God bless you. Love you. And I'll speak to you next week about the fourth F, about this unchanging God who causes change in our lives. Thank you very much.